and rap in 3, 2, 1.
That's okay.
That was a blooper moment right there. Put that one on there too. Okay. Put that in the roll, in the B roll. Put it in the B roll. All right, and
stop throwing things at the camera.
I know. Try not to beat it up next time. In 3, 2, 1. Guys, here for another episode of the Wrap.
And episode 31.
Yeah, 31. They won't know it because it'll probably still air on Friday, I'm assuming. But yes, today we are recording on Monday. It feels a little weird, all right, with the shortened week and compressing everything and heading out of town to see family. We wanted to go ahead and make sure we got things recorded for this. And let me tell you, there could not be a more Thanksgiving topic than today's topic.
Yes.
Death.
Death.
You have to say that, and they have to stare into the camera like, all right, awesome. And may I say, by the way, let's get past that for a moment. May I say, it was good that both of us could show up today with our button-down shirts.
Yes, we're dressed up today.
You should be able to tell here, but I do feel very Thanksgiving with my brown button-down shirt. Yeah. And you're looking quite suave in your button-down shirt.
I'm ready for the talk of death.
Yeah, you are.
My gray shirt.
We should have said when we came on today, today's topic, death, sponsored by the Grim Reaper. It had a sickle here or something, I don't know.
Oh.
That is no joke. I mean, all jokes aside, we are talking about that today. We ended our little mini series, our 2-week series called The Sting, and talking about the effects of sin on our world. And one of those effects, I'm convinced, really, probably the most damaging effect of sin is this concept of death.
Yeah.
Boy, it's not a topic that anybody really likes. Like, I can't imagine that as people gather around Thanksgiving tables this Thursday, they're going to be like, you know what? Let's talk about death.
Yeah.
Probably not going to come up. I bet it doesn't come up at many dinner tables when families sit down. It just seems like one of those things that we like to avoid.
Mm. At all costs.
At all costs. Yeah. What do you think that's all about? Why do you think that we tend to skirt conversations about death?
We don't like to face it.
No.
You know, it's that great unknown, right? We think we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just this big, you know, what happens?
Yep.
You know, not to mention, how do I die? You know, like, death is not a, you know, it's very final.
It's not a pretty thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome. I'll never forget when I first showed up here at New Heights.
And it's painful.
In a lot of different ways. Yeah, I'd shown up here at New Heights and wasn't here very long. And number one, I hadn't done a funeral, let alone I was asked by a family who a family member was in the hospital, and they were expecting him to pass away. If I would come and I would be with them and pray with them. And I was like, oh, absolutely, I would. Not knowing what I was getting myself into, boy, I would not wish that on anybody, to sit in somebody's hospital room and watch them die and experience that. It was not pretty, let's just put it that way. But again, this is a result and a consequence of a decision that was made by Adam way back when, that we suffer the effects of today. But we tend to just not want anything to do with it, talk about it. And this is a really tricky subject, and I think it's even more tricky for a Christ follower, because I think deep down we have inside of us, and that was really kind of the tenor of the whole sermon yesterday, was we should be confident.
Right.
Not necessarily, and I really do think we have to pull these things apart a little bit. I think what we really ultimately fear is the process of dying itself. That's what scares us, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that
because all we've known is our finite human life, right? And what happens when that goes away, right? Like,
Or just that, like
that
you said,
fear of
just the process of, you know, here's a common question that people ask, like, and I would never ask this. I don't want to know, but some people are like, I kind of want to know how I'm going to die. I don't want to know that. Mm-mm. I don't want to know when it happens, how it happens. I don't want that.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we really fear more than anything is this, the process of it. And especially if you get towards the end of life and you really kind of go through a very slow and painful process of diminishing and then dying. It's just like, that's what I'm freaked out about. And we talked a little bit yesterday about this concept is that, you know, I think Robert Neal was the guy that I referenced. I've not read the book, but I was just kind of getting a feel from it. And he identifies three things that cause us to fear the process of dying. And I try to see if I can remember all three of them. One of them is that we fear the loss of control in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it made a really interesting case that we come into this world and we're vulnerable as vulnerable gets. We're just little babies. We can't take care of ourselves. We depend on everybody else to do things for us. And it's odd how life comes full circle sometimes at the very end of life, especially if you're advanced in age and you've been lucky enough to live 70, 80, 90 years, sometimes even 100 years. You almost revert right back to when you came into this world. You're vulnerable. You're depending on people to care for you. And there's a loss of control in that.
Yeah.
There's a loss of mastery over your own life. Now, we know well enough, don't we, that as we read God's word, we're told very clearly, we really don't have mastery over our lives at any point.
Right.
Or at least we shouldn't feel like we have mastery and control over our lives. That's God's. We surrender to the lordship of Christ and Him controlling our lives. And so he talks about that and says that we fear the loss of mastery and control. He says in a very real sense, we fear separation from loved ones.
Yeah.
And those are gifts to us that God has given to us. He's given us moms and dads and brothers and sisters and friends who, you know, frankly, sometimes make this life, you know, worth living and investing in. And when we lose those people, it hurts. We grieve in that.
Yeah. And we don't want to talk about losing those people, right? We don't want to go there.
No,
right?
we don't want to think about
life without those people. Right?
I'm convinced that's honestly sometimes the most painful part of it is not necessarily even thinking about our own loss, but thinking about the loss of people close to us.
Yeah. You know, and this is again a very cheery subject we're on for Thanksgiving.
Don't worry, folks. We will get to the good
Christmas
stuff here in just a minute.
Shopping and being out, maybe out. I don't know. Some places are closed because of the COVID, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I often think that that's exactly why the funeral service is so important for a person losing a loved one.
Yeah.
Because you go through life not thinking, not talking, not even focusing on death, and then all of a sudden death is here.
It smacks you in the face.
And if you don't actually have that closure of that service of laying that loved one to rest, man, there's no closure. Your mind almost compartmentalizes that death away and says, oh, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't properly get the time to grieve that.
That's why I often say that. Obviously, the funeral service is a moment for us to memorialize and remember the person who's passed.
Yeah.
But I think it's also so very important, too, that we take stock of our own lives. Like, how impactful is my life? What am I doing in my life to make it count, to make it have meaning, to make it have purpose? I think that's the secondary part to a funeral service. It seems kind of weird to think that way. Yeah. You're like, no, I thought we were supposed to be focusing on this person.
It reminds you your time is limited.
It's short. Right? It's short.
Don't not do something and regret it.
Yeah, don't waste your life. John Piper wrote a book years ago, said, don't waste your life, you know, and that's just such a good mantra in all things. And so, he talks about this. We fear separation. We fear loss of control and mastery over our life. And I remember the third one just came to me. He says, we also fear, and I think this is a really big one for people, is we fear incompleteness and failure.
Yeah.
There are so many people I think, and I'm this way to a degree. I try to like not be wound so tight anymore. But people by and large, especially in America, are just high achieving people.
Yeah.
We want to accomplish things.
Got to leave a legacy.
Man, we got to leave. By the way, man, I come to dislike that phrase more and more as time goes on. Yeah. It's not about you leaving your legacy. But anyways, whole other rap episode for that. We'll come on to. But yeah, we're so high achieving in our modern Western American culture that we want to do things, and if we don't do things, we feel like we're worthless.
Right. Or if we don't do said certain thing, we feel like we've failed.
Right? Yeah, it's like I was sharing yesterday too, like a lot. And these, I'm not saying this is bad. Please do this. I mean, like if you want to, but like when people say, well, like, oh man, I didn't achieve those two things on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But that's how we operate. It's our mindset in life is we've got to do things, and if we don't do the things we want to do, we've somehow failed ourselves, we've failed other people. And what we have to kind of think is I think the problem with all of this, and especially to talk about death, is we operate so often with a temporal mind instead of an eternal mind. I was sharing a little bit yesterday about C.S. Lewis's thoughts on this, and he says in one of his books, in the Chronicles of Narnia series, gets to the very last book, very end of that book. He basically says they realize for the first time in their life that they had only been kind of operating in life on the title page, on the cover page.
Yeah.
And the rest of eternity was them kind of writing the book and the chapters on their life. And so we get so caught up in thinking that we have to cram everything into this 70, 80, 90 years that we have on Earth. That seems like a really long time, but it goes real fast.
Yeah.
We feel like we have to cram everything into that. And if we just operate with a mindset of eternity, we would say,
we're just getting started.
Don't be lazy and not do things in this life, but don't feel...
For the procrastinators in the room, Ryan.
Because
I am one.
Yes, that's one
end. Try to get some stuff done.
Yes, that's one end of the spectrum, but the other end of the spectrum is, I've got to get everything done. Right. I've got to achieve everything. I can't fail in anything. Yeah. I've got to accomplish it. If I don't, and this is what scares me about death, that I'm going to come to the end, I'm going to look back and say, I didn't do something. What? You have all of eternity. Yeah.
Well, and I think even for those, you know, we talked about the procrastination thing, even those, you know, when they're getting closer to that deadline, that fear is still going to be there.
Okay.
Right? Like. Yeah. Oh, I've got to get all this stuff done now because I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, which I guess, like, I guess in a sense, you know, it's good to live life with urgency, but not frantically.
I think the key is a life of urgency, but a life of purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, know, you know, what your true purpose, you know, why did God put you here?
Yeah. A life of urgency over a life of hurry.
Yeah.
Those are two very different things. And I think of the story of, like, I always go back to the story because it's such a great story to illustrate things, but the story of Mary and Martha. Mary operates out of priority and urgency. She knows what's most important, sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha operates, God bless her little soul and heart, but she operates out of just urgency.
She is a lot of us, though. Like,
We
want to get stuff done. Doesn't matter what. And we got to just get it done.
Come on, Jesus. Really? My sister's not even helping me. I mean, we have the Savior of the entire world sitting here in our living room, and she's just sitting there on the floor doing nothing. Come on, Jesus. Yeah, that's how we operate. But we should operate, like I said, with urgency over hurry in our lives. And so kind of let's shift gears a little bit here. Right? We're talking about this concept of death and coming to grips with death.
But we have hope.
We do.
Yes.
And that's always the end of it. Yeah, we don't say that flippantly, like, hey, you know, that's the obvious tagline there. But no, it's the truth that we do have hope. And the hope of all of this is, and the reason that we can have confidence that death is not the end, that death is not going to have hold over us, that death is not going to keep us enslaved, is because of Christ.
Yeah.
And what Christ has done for us. And we sometimes look at Jesus' work on the cross and we say, well, that saved me. Okay, from what?
Yeah.
Like, that's great. You understand the word salvation, but there's a depth to that. It saved you from yourself, but most importantly, or at least right over the top, is it saved you from sin and from death.
Yeah.
And I would even say more pointedly, from the fear of death. We shared this scripture out of Hebrews 2 yesterday that, again, frankly, I'm sure I've run across several times, but I'd never really focused in on. And it basically says, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, that Christ and his work on the cross has basically disarmed the devil. who holds the power of death.
Right.
The follow-up to that is in verse 15, that by doing that, he took away the fear of death from all of those who had been enslaved to that very thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was sharing
he
yesterday.
He took away that one playing card that he had.
The playing like, card, or as we said yesterday, and what we've been talking about the series, is he took the stinger out of death. And it's just such an amazing picture there that he gives us of Christ triumphing and having victory over death and releasing us from that fear of death. It's just such a beautiful picture there. And we've talked about a lot of connections to that. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, his famous phrase, where, O death, is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting. It's been swallowed up. And I love that picture of, like, you just think of... gone.
And it's so true too, like that sting, that pain of death. You know, I've been around people who are into their life and they're a believer and they've got that hope of salvation, that death is not the end. And isn't it so much different than being with somebody who, to them, death is the end, right? Like, they don't have that hope of eternal salvation and this is it.
Yeah.
You know, they've come to the end of the rope, the end of the line.
Yep.
And the difference in those people at the end, you know, is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that, and I think for the families even of those people, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So no better and more beautiful picture that we have in Scripture. And again, I think we really undersell salvation, that it's a one-time thing. Like, I've placed my faith in Christ. Jesus has saved me. I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
It's a very simplistic view of what salvation is. So salvation is really multifaceted.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is. It's not just a one-time thing. Yeah. Like, salvation is an ongoing thing. You are constantly being saved.
Yeah.
And you're not like, you know, yes, at one point in time, you were saved from your sin, but you're constantly being saved for something.
Yeah.
For eternity. And for God's glory and for you being glorified one day in heaven. I just think, like I said, it's such a beautiful picture. And I think it occurred to me yesterday, we had somebody, part of our church, who just lost their mom, you know, recently, within the last few days, last week or so. And I just never, like, I was just preaching this sermon yesterday. And I was thinking to myself, like, oh, my land. Like, this has got to be the most non-Thanksgiving service that anybody could ever preach. And then I kind of got to thinking afterwards, and this person had commented and been like, that is exactly the sermon that I needed to hear right then. And I thought to myself, you know, it's so true. And I think that for those of us who have not lost someone, or that person's not been very close, like, the holidays can be really hard.
It can.
Especially as you come to Thanksgiving, you come into Christmas within another, you know, month or so here. It's just so difficult. And I think that's why we need things like the promise that Jesus gives and the hope that Jesus gives, that he has conquered death. And again, yes, we grieve in this life, and we're sad, but we're not held captive by that.
Right.
That we have hope on the other side of that. And like I said, just such a great, great picture, and something that I feel like probably so many people need to hear right now. And as we approach a couple major holidays here, and if you've recently lost someone, man, it's not to negate or to diminish your pain. What we're really trying to say is to instill and to inspire hope in you that, boy, this doesn't have to be the end. I think as well, too, it adds urgency to those of us who are Christ followers. But like you said, boy, how do we, you know, help people who are not Christ followers be able to experience this hope and be able to celebrate in the fact that this world's not the end for them, you know? And so, I really think, like I said, that this was, I kept thinking about, like, such an oddly placed sermon series.
I don't remember. Did we plan that?
I really don't know. We weren't thinking probably much about that one, but I really think in the end it really worked. Again, a seemingly non-Thanksgiving sermon series turned out to be a really great one, because what more and what better thing do we have to thank God about than the salvation that he's given to us? Like you said, that it's a gift that keeps on giving. The next week we start our Christmas series called Behold, and we look at the coming of Jesus, his incarnation, his stepping down from heaven onto earth to become like us. And I think like that was just a really great connect. Why, you know, why did Jesus have to, why did Jesus step down, you know, from his throne in heaven to come down here to take on flesh, to be like us? Well, so he can fix that major problem of sin and death and corruption and decay, so that we could be made new and made whole. And I think it's a very important thing that I tried to emphasize at the very end yesterday. Well, sometimes we hear a term like resurrection, and we think that just means that we just kind of resuscitate and back to life. No, here's the real true fact. So you have throughout, you know, especially the New Testament, I think of a story like Lazarus. We say that Lazarus was raised from the dead, that he resurrected. Well, really what he did, he was resuscitated. He died again. He died, a death, from this earth. Jesus is unique in the fact that he is the only person who has truly resurrected. He came back, and resurrection truly in its most base form is that we are brought back to a new way of life. And Scripture tells us at the end of all things, when Christ comes back and he calls us into eternity, we won't just be like tweaked a little bit. We will experience a completely different and new life. Resurrected life. Jesus says,
completely changed.
Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so, my friends, if you are kind of feeling your...
I can't help but think that it's a more of a reset of what we were supposed to be all along.
A return to kind of the beginning, but actually a better than the beginning as well, too. And so if you find yourself in life kind of wandering and wondering about things and, you know, where's my life going and how do I have hope in the midst of a lot of chaos around us, the answer is Jesus. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Later on in Revelation 1, he says, I hold the keys of life. Where I am the life, he says, I actually hold the keys to death and the devil. I control all of that. And so I can't think of any better and more hopeful thing in our lives than to recognize and realize that Christ has on our behalf, on your behalf, paid the price for you. Paid the admission fee for you to experience resurrection and life. And so I really... I hope that you hold on to that as we come to Thanksgiving, because like I said, what better thing do we have to be thankful for than that right there? Resurrection life, that this world is not the end, that there is hope on the other side. There is hope, not just on the other side, but there is hope today and always. And so thank you again for joining us for another episode of The Wrap. We will see you next time.
See you guys.